He's Maria Menounos here. Are you like me, so obsessed with your favorite TV series that you want more? Have I got the solution for you. AfterBuzz TV. AfterBuzz TV produces aftershows for your favorite TV shows, where AfterBuzz hosts break down episodes, answer questions from fans, and interview series cast and crew. Whether it's Game of Thrones, Dancing with the Stars, Scandal, or Love and Hip Hop, chances are AfterBuzz produces an aftershow for you. So check out AfterBuzzTV.com or download episodes on iTunes. Buzz you later.
Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Screen Junkies Movie Fights, powered by the Popcorn Talk Network. Now your host, Andy Signor.
Greetings, Screen Junkies. Do not adjust your sets. I am not Andy Signor.
What am I doing over here?
But that is Andy Signor. Oh, boy. This is mass hysteria. Dogs and cats living together.
Wow.
Welcome to Movie Fights. You know what, guys? This is our last episode of 2014, so we decided to shake it up a little bit. I am Dan Merle. I'm hosting this one, and boy, do we have a great show for you today. We're taking on everything about 2014. Best movie, best performance, and some other cool topics like best movie weapon. So,
Makeup and hair design.
Best makeup and hair. We're doing all the Oscar categories, basically. So it's going to be a really fun show for you guys. Before we start, I do want to mention how grateful we are to be part of the Popcorn Talk Network. Thanks to Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, the entire Schmoes No crew.
And Orville Redenbacher, the inventor of popcorn.
Absolutely. And also, as I'm sure you know by now, we are also on YouTube. You can see down at the bottom right-hand corner, there's a little thing that says Pick Your Fight. You can click that. You can jump around. But you really shouldn't do that because we've got some really, really cool fights this week here on Movie Fights. And also, on YouTube, Popcorn Talk Network has their own channel. So check them out. Lots of really cool... really cool movie-related shows.
How's Dan doing, Nick?
Just fantastic. I think he's kind.
Pretty fun to watch.
And,
how's it looking from over there, Andy?
It's looking pretty good. It's a weird view.
Andy, you're not going to fire Dan during the podcast, are you?
That's a little scary. Also, you can find us on iTunes. You can subscribe to us there. Click, rate, subscribe. All that fun stuff. Let's get to it, guys. Let's meet our gladiators for this week. First of all, you know him. You love him. He's the host of the Screen Junkies show, Mr. Hal Rudnick.
What up, everybody? Glad to be here. I am locked and loaded.
Next to him is the host of Movie Fights, usually, not this week. He is also the co-creator of Honest Trailers, Andy Signor.
Hey, it's exciting. There were so many tweets that actually surprised me. They're like, I want to see you on the panel. So we thought year-end, let's just try it. Maybe I'll suck so bad that I get to host the rest of the series.
Ding, ding.
Andy entering the ring for the first time. Oh, he's back. You know him. You love him. He's best friends with The Rock, Mr. Nick Mundy.
Guys, let's ruin some friendships before the new year starts, guys.
How crazy is the bear community going right now?
Oh, I know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, flipping out. There's a lot of man
yeah,
right
there. The
What's
cam.
Up, Julian?
We've got the Dan cam. That's the bear cam. speaking of the Dan cam, fact-checking us for us today, he's the producer and editor of Movie Fights, Mr. Jason Inman.
Yep, I'm excited to add another beard to make it three beards to two.
I know how. You better
gain 50 pounds if you want to sit over here.
Remember, we will declare a winner this week, so I will be keeping score based on passion, creativity, and I'll be as objective as I can while keeping in mind that one of the panelists can fire me if they lose today.
He's also writing his answers
down. I'm
going to
use that.
All right.
I'm prepping. I didn't get to prep as much. I have a full-time job.
I'll vamp for you a little bit longer, Andy.
Now I'm shorter than Nick. Starting terrible.
This is going to be the best movie fight ever!
We are off to a great start here. We could just watch you struggle with that chair for an hour, Andy. Guys, let's get to it. In the immortal words.
Someone make that gif.
In the immortal words of Ken Watanabe.
Let them fight.
Yeah, as a guest, it's really not that exciting, is it?
Our New Year's resolution might be to maybe revisit that suggestion.
What comment do you want to hear? Tell us in the comments below.
Let's go to round one. Guys, this has been a really good year for movies in general. We had two great comic book movies. You've got independent films like Birdman. You've got little horror movies like The Babadook. So many really cool movies. But there's one big question to answer for 2014. Julian Vanderwalt on Twitter asked, what was the best movie of 2014. This is going to be tough. Let's start with Hal.
It was a great year for movies. There are so many good ones. But at the end of the day, the best film, when you take into account popcorn movies and well-made films, I'm going with Nightcrawler. Nightcrawler had everything you want in a movie. It was super compelling. It had a character that started to grow on you, and he was so pervasive, and Jake Gyllenhaal's performance came out of nowhere. A lot of us have written off Jake Gyllenhaal as like a quality actor, and he blew us away. But that wasn't the only good performance. Has anyone thought about Renee Russo in I don't know how long?
Yes.
She was you masturbate to Renee Russo in Lethal Weapon.
Yes.
But she was a tragic, awesome figure in this movie. Just what a broken, awful woman. And she was fantastic. And Nightcrawler was the most engaging, compelling film of the year.
And I thought it was an interesting choice of X-Men to spin off into his own movie.
Very weird choice.
I would have gone elsewhere.
All right, that's going to be some comments.
All right.
Since this is best movie, I'm going to let everyone talk before jumping in because it's best movie.
And it's also a civilized discussion, so that's also a good reason to do that.
After this, not.
All right, Andy, what's your choice?
I'm going to do something that I think is going to frustrate them, but I'm going to do it because, you know, I can. I'm allowed, right?
Okay.
But I wanted to pick a different movie, and I think it should be clear that sometimes we want to make this fight interesting, so I'm going to play devil's advocate because
right.
I'm not actually picking my best movie. I'm afraid someone might be picking my best movie.
All right.
Because we do our diligence to make sure. So I'm just going to go on record and say this wasn't my favorite movie, but it's real close.
Just display
so I'm going to play devil's advocate to defend another movie that I think was pretty damn good, but I don't want to go on record to say which one was my favorite. It might have been yours. I'm not using
that
to my advantage.
We can't get its own devil advocate?
You can use it too.
No, but we can't get our own cover.
Oh, no, we have to use Insomnia. I'm going with Whiplash.
Whiplash.
Now, here's my reason. So here's why Whiplash was amazing. First of all, I didn't go into this movie expecting much. You're just blown away from the beginning. The performances of Miles Teller and J.K. Simmons, like, just through the roof. But the thing that made me, not only the character portrait study that I'll get into, we'll talk more, I'm going to defend it more, but just the fact that Miles Teller didn't even, like, know how to play drums really prior to that movie just also blew me away. His watching him get into that performance, the direction, the music, the writing, the character study of that piece, and the two of them going toe-to-toe was one of the most fascinating pieces I've seen in cinema in years, and I'm going Whiplash.
Whiplash. All right. Another great movie.
Real quick on Andy, Tara Reid didn't know how to play the bass before Josie and the Pussycats came out. So
she did not play it like Miles Teller did Whiplash.
My favorite movie of the year is Boyhood, which I believe is Andy's also favorite movie of the year. I just thought it was this epic, like, groundbreaking piece of cinema that took 12 years to make. Think about that. 12 years. 12 years ago, I was in much better shape, and I listened to Incubus. Okay, and then think about doing something for 12 years and just constantly doing it at a high level. And it was an experiment, and it's what makes film great. And also beyond just the fact that it took 12 years and it was this like groundbreaking, breathtaking piece of cinema, it was also a great movie about growing up and what it's like growing up and how it's hard and tough and not easy, and it's not always like great, but it, you know, people pull through. And also, as a hometown guy, it's the best movie featuring Houston, Texas ever. It beats Chuck Norris's Sidekicks by far. So I just think it's a beautiful. It is the first movie to make me cry since Castaway. Yeah, so 15,
really?
Yeah, it made me cry.
That was the last time you cried with Castaway?
Yeah, I'm broken inside.
Can I fight that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah guys.
Can you tell me the plot to Boyhood?
Yeah, it's growing up as a human boy.
No, I didn't say the theme. I said the plot.
Yeah, and let me also jump in there. That Boyhood is a great cinematic exercise. We've never seen anything like it. But as far as a movie, there have been way better movies that take on the complexities of life. But Boyhood, yeah, being filmed over the course of 12 years, an amazing achievement.
Yes.
But the best movie, those are two different things.
You know what? Here's the thing.
Okay, go ahead. Real quick.
What's up, Dan?
Quickly, Nick.
Good luck.
I've seen Whiplash. You know why? I've seen Karate Kid. And it's the best Karate Kid. But it's still Karate Kid. Watch any sports movie, it's the same plot.
What are you talking about? No way that they're movie.
It's a sports movie. Whiplash is a fantastic, well-made, great-acted sports movie. And Nightcrawler is awesome.
What sports movie is the villain the coach?
Remember the Titans?
No. See, you're wrong. No, it's not.
Remember
that.
The
they put
Titans?
A spun
Denzel.
On it.
Major,
they put a spun on, league, spin
Major
on it.
Was the owner? No, it was. It's a sports movie. It's the same plot. As
no, it. Yeah, it was 8 Mile. It was Karate Kid. Yeah. That's all the same. Like going through the different rungs.
And Nightcrawler is great, but like, and I love Jake Gyllenhaal in that movie. That character doesn't grow at all. Like we literally see. Miles, bro.
I want to jump on that, Nick. I'm going to help Nick. Let's assist on this.
When is that a rule? When does your character have to grow?
Not only that, but I just feel like...
And in fact, he does grow. He gets more and more evil and pervasive, and he loses any... He becomes more of a sociopath. He does grow in the worst way possible, which is the best way.
That's the point.
No, his sociopathy grows.
I don't think there was a duality to Nightcrawler as there was in Whiplash, so I'm just giving it double... I give it, like, the double points because it was that it had Nightcrawler was more about Jake Gyllenhaal. This was more about the two of them and that toe-to-toe tour de force battle, the fight that they were able to bring.
I don't understand how that makes it better.
It made a bigger conflict. It was more interesting. That was a character study to me more so than this was really a little bit more.
Don't underestimate Rene Russo.
Dude, we gotta go nitty-gritty. Subjective, I get it, but I gotta pick something up.
But don't underestimate Rene Russo, because how often do we see an older woman who hasn't had any work done just allowed to be a flawed human being on film? So great.
Patricia Arquette, and we got to see it over 12 years.
So here's where I'm coming from, because all three of those movies are probably in my top five for this year. I think a lot of times what separates a good movie from a great one is, are you going to remember it 10 years from now? So my question, and I'll hit each of you briefly, is like, what do you think makes your choice something that 5-10 years from now people are still going to say, oh, that was a great movie, that was the best movie of the year?
I'll challenge that even further. Which movie are you going to watch again right away? And I would argue, to the heart of all of you people, you're going to watch Whiplash again first over Nightcrawler and Boyhood. Boyhood's fantastic, but I don't want to watch it again right away. I maybe in a few years down the line. Same with Nightcrawler, got it out of it. That watching, and then when it ends, you're just like, whoa, wait, what just happened? Was that, spoiler alert, was he really pushing him, or was he actually an asshole? Like, there's such a great dynamic there that it just rocked my head out, and you're watching it one way, and then you're like, I need to watch it again a completely new way.
It wasn't rock, Andy, it was jazz.
So,
mic drop.
Andy, you think watchability is what puts Whiplash over the top.
Yes.
How? What do you think about Nightcrawler?
Okay, there are several things that make it an excellent movie. One thing I haven't touched on yet is its comment on the tabloid society that we live in. It's one of the best. They use real LA newscasters. I mean, that really sucks you in, and it's like seeing these awful fake people just reading what's put in front of them. So the comment on the tabloid society, the amazing performances, and one of the best portraits of a sociopath we've seen on screen since probably Taxi Driver.
Andy, yours is watchability. You think the themes and the performances of the movie will make it stand the test of time? Nick,
absolutely.
Dumb.
I think the epic journey of making the movie and the fact that it will win the best movie of the year, and the fact that, you know what, I disagree with you, because every single film student, every single person wanting to get into film will constantly watch Boyhood as an exercise, like they do with a lot of Linklater movies, as a tool, as a template, as like something I did. I watched Dazed and Confused and Slacker all the time growing up, and they will use this. If I was a kid in film school right now, I would be obsessed with this movie.
I mean,
I don't want to watch much of those movies. I feel like it was more an artistic piece that I respect highly than a movie. Do you really want to go watch Boyhood again right away?
Is Boyhood really better than the 7-Up series? Are you familiar with the 7-Up series of documentaries every 7 years?
I got more connected to it, yes, because... You know, that's a documentary, and I appreciate that, but that's like a different part of the brain. This was a narrative story. I mean, what if the kid playing Mason just went fucking crazy? Like, apologies. What if they just, like, there's so many things that could have happened in that movie, and they kept it consistent. It didn't feel like... Like, and this is getting nerdy, but like, technology could have changed.
You
could
use what if for anything. No, like I said, it was an achievement.
But that was a risk of that movie. It was a huge risk.
It was an achievement. But as far as the best film, the best movie of the year, the best narrative story, I think it's a little bit lacking in those.
I agree with Hal, and I agree that mine's better than yours, so therefore that helps you out.
But I think
I disagree with that.
Look.
Guys, I gotta make a call here. That's another one of yours, I think. Guys, I gotta
find something better to say.
This is really tough because I loved all three of these movies, and you all argue very passionately for your choices. And I'm not gonna give you all points.
Can I go one more? I finally liked Ethan Hawke in a movie.
All right. That's valid. Although I don't know why people hate on Ethan Hawke so much. This is really tough.
Yeah, it's not an easy job.
It's not easy. I think I think I'm going to go with Nick. Because I think that Boyhood is the one that people are going to remember more in 10 years. Because
I agree. That was my choice.
Yeah, you wanted it. Well, you wanted
Boyhood
it
was the best. So, Nick, and I, to be for the record, I've never even seen Nightcrawler. I was just trying to argue.
You went,
wait, can I say something?
I didn't get that screener yet.
All three movies are great. Stop watching Guardians for the seventh time and watch all three of these movies.
We just had to fight to fight. Yeah. But they're all great movies.
It was a good year for movies.
I have a very quick correction that has nothing to do with all three of those movies.
Continue.
Tara Reid and Josie and the Pussycats played the drums.
Oh, even closer. You could have made that even tighter. He should lose a point for
that. That is a gym. That is a gym coming from the day camp.
Didn't play the drums.
Counterpoint, I never saw Josie and the Pussycats.
Excellent.
If you had pulled that out.
Jason,
you had pulled that out.
That's why the Dan Cam is there. Exactly. All right, guys, that was fun. Let's go on to round two.
I hate the internet.
We move from the best of 2014 to something else we also had a lot of this year. Terrible movies. Mm-hmm. Colin Littlewood on Twitter asked, what is the worst movie of 2014? Andy, let's start with
me.
You.
It was tough. I really had to plow through to remember which ones I get more frustrated by. Yeah. I'm going to go with one from someone I respect. A Million Ways to Die in the West by Seth MacFarlane. What a steaming pile of dog crap. I mean, so much potential. I was like not frayed by the Western. I thought he was like, it's always a risk when you make the Western, but my God, it was so lazy and all over the place and just so unfunny and so many talented people. And it was just like, how did so many funny, smart people think that was good? And then one more point before I pass over. The most frustrating part was they had one little nugget where they run into Doc in the barn, and they put it in the trailer. It was like, that is how desperate they knew their turkey was, that they're like, even these little fun little nuggets that should have been good in the movie, they're all there because we need you to come see this movie. It was a travesty.
It was a bummer. Nick, what's your choice?
Wasn't every joke in the trailer in...
Yes, that, any that good joke. Any good joke.
You're helping him, Nick.
No, I know, but I'm a gentleman in a holiday season. And I know he liked Boyhood more, so... The worst movie of 2014... was not only a bad movie, but it was also a Ponzi scheme. It's Zach Braff's Kickstarter movie. And I'm not even going to call it by the title, because I'm just going to call it Zach Braff's Kickstarter movie. I watched this movie. It's so bad, and it makes L.A. so terrible. L.A. is a great place to live. It just makes L.A. and acting and everything just so terrible. It takes the innocence of Boyhood and growing up, and it ruins it by like this man child who's like, oh, I can't do my dreams, so life sucks, so I'm gonna imagine how like my dreams are. This is what Zach Braff thinks everyone in America is
doing.
Oh, and
please pay for it.
Yeah, please pay for my movie. But you know what, here's the thing, people paid for that movie, they didn't even get the movie. They still did, like, they got this like weird code that still doesn't work for anyone. Okay, also here's another thing about this movie. It made Garden State worse. I'm not saying Garden State was like a decent movie.
Garden
like,
Stake, it's too much hate.
No, no. It was fine. It was fine. You know, look, we all listen to The Shins afterwards. Okay, cool. But it actually makes Garden State worse. And it's just like, go to hell, Zach Braff. You rip people off.
Well, if he gave it to me a little bit, I'm going to go with him. Amen to that. Go pay for your own movie,
right.
Zach Braff.
We've got a mutual admiration society over here. How?
You know I'm no friend of Zach Braff. The evidence is on the internet. Seth MacFarlane, I had higher hopes for that, as evidenced by our box office lists over the summer. But there's a movie that disemboweled me, that I had so many expectations for, but just jumped me in an alley and said, no, I'm going to curb stomp you because this movie is going to suck and disappoint you.
Boy.
The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Man, what a franchise killer. What an all-over-the-place mess. There were like four different movies inside that one movie. The tone was so bad. Jamie Foxx's sketch comedy-like character?
It's not even sketch comedy.
One
it's
of
comedy.
The worst villains we've seen in years. The Rhino? Why? Why did you waste that? Why did you waste the film? Plus, his like silly Russian accent. Oh, my God. And, it was like a franchise killer. Sony's like, oh, what should we do with it? Should we pawn it off to Marvel?
Yeah, but you know what? Here's why my movie is
dreams
worse than
broken.
Yours. Here's why my movie's... At least
really?
You had Garfield and Emma Stone.
Yeah, I was going to say...
Yeah, you had...
There were pockets of Spider-Man that were
like
acceptable.
I had
you
Seth's,
guys are being too kind.
I had
you
Seth's,
look look at the track. Look all at the
of
record.
Us, I, come on. I all of us afterwards.
I had the Scrubs guy rip people off. Okay, I had the Scrubs
guy. Well, here's my problem with that one. I don't count that as a movie. I count that as a passion project that he made with his friends. I won't even dignify it as a movie. I don't care where it came out. It doesn't count to me in my eyes. So I just automatically... And I don't believe any of these people even saw it, so how can you even declare that?
The Amazing Spider-Man is a special case because we went into that thinking, man, here comes the setup.
But I'm going to challenge you. When I watched that movie, when I left, I didn't go, oh, man, what's that? I was like, man, it distracted me for a couple hours. It was okay. And then as you sit, it got more into the scene. But it distracted me enough. The scene in Times Square, the action scene, it was decent. I think Emma Stone, Andrew Garfield had chemistry. Yeah. There were pockets of it that were fine. I think Mark Webb and Andrew Garfield are talented people. I think it had studio interference that was heavy. Million Ways to Die in the West, the studio's like, Ted, here's $1 million. Do your dream pocket. And then what did he do with it? He just took a dump on a film reel.
You expect that to be a potential misfire.
No, coming off of Ted, you thought, okay, cool. He's going to be able to do his passion project. He's in it. He's going to be able to do it.
And he just completely in retrospect, when you think about megalomaniacal Seth MacFarlane making a passion project that's a Western, that all adds up. But when we have The Amazing Spider-Man, which was supposed to unlock so many portals going forward, and now everything is in question. Wow, what a mess. What a mistake.
I'll top this. You never saw it. This movie, Zach Braff's Kickstarter movie, had a bunch of dream sequences where he was a comic book hero. That's how bad it is. It's all the worst movie I've ever seen.
I've got to, this is, man, this is tough.
This is so much more fun argument.
In a way, none of us win because
they're all bad movies.
They're all bad movies. How?
Oh, no, one thing against Hal. We all saw Amazing Spider-Man. You guys didn't even have the dignity.
Yeah, the CRs.
Yeah.
I would have been going against my principles if I saw it because I came out publicly.
Dan, which one of these have you actually seen for the record?
Have I actually seen? I saw Spider-Man 2.
Okay.
For the record.
Everyone, yeah.
But this is about your arguments more than the actual quality of the movie.
Fair.
So, Hal, I'm with you. I did not like Amazing Spider-Man 2, but I am a little bit with Andy in that some of the Spider-Man stuff, I was like, that's the best Spider-Man action that I've seen in a movie. So I can't quite put it over the top there. Andy, A Million Ways to Die in the West, from what I've heard, is bad, but it wasn't...
Having some expectations. No one thought it was going to, like,
this
oh
isn't
my God,
a movie.
This doesn't count
as a movie.
First of all, nobody said Transformers 4, which for me was easily the worst movie of the year. Here's what it comes down to. Every time you go to see a bad movie, an aggressively bad movie, you always say, like, oh, the studio stole my money. They stole my money by making me see that piece of crap. There's only one movie that actually stole people's money, and that's the Zach Braff Kickstarter movie. So, Nick, I don't want to set such a lead, but you win again. You take that one.
That's not a movie.
That is
that's
the first time I've ever won two in a row.
That one was too expected to be the worst. Millionaires would... It should have been... He had the power off of 10, everything. He got
Andy,
everybody he wanted.
You're wrong. Andy, the fight's over.
The title was Wish I Was Here, in case anybody wants to know.
No one wants to know!
No one does, and we don't want to support it.
All right, please, let's move on to round three. Andy, I got to throw my weight around here.
You're allowed. We'll see if you do it again, though. Oh, no, I'm kidding.
Okay, let's get back to some good things. Caitlin Kern... I don't know if this was this on Twitter or Facebook? Do you know, Jason?
Twitter.
Caitlin Kern on Twitter asked us, what's the best performance of the year? A lot of great movies, and it seems like maybe even more great performances of the year. Nick, let's start with you.
One of my favorite actors gave one of my favorite performances of all time. Michael Keaton in Birdman was probably the best performance I've seen in a decade. And what's great about it is I think people forgot about Michael Keaton. Like, because he hasn't been doing a lot, and he finally showed, like, and I think people are, like, finally appreciating, like, oh man, we missed this guy. Where's he been? Hopefully this is the start of him, like, reigniting his career, where he played basically two characters, and it's probably more
autobiographical.
Yeah, more than he would admit.
Deduct a point.
Yeah. I had a stutter as a kid. Like, than he's ever had, like, and it just felt like a raw, great performance from an actor that, like, I wish he's been doing movies for, like, the last 20 years, but he's just done a handful. But I'll take what I can get, and I just think it was the best performance all year.
All right, Michael Keaton as another kind of superhero, Birdman. Hal?
I liked Birdman. I didn't think Michael Keaton was the best performance of the year, though. I have to give that to J.K. Simmons in Whiplash. Before that, honestly, I mainly knew him from We Are Farmers, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, those insurance commercials. But
and J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah. But he came out of nowhere to show us these chops. For me, it's the best performance of the year because when was J.K. Simmons on the map as someone who could potentially be a villain?
I think people watch Oz.
Yeah,
you
know? No,
like,
I completely disagree with you. Yeah,
totally obvious. Yeah. He's been in a million times.
Yeah, he's done this all the time. This is J.K. Only J.K. Simmons could have been in this part.
No, in a major motion picture?
Yeah.
What other one?
Well, Oz counts.
I don't think you can dispute Spider-Man. Like, he did it three times.
Juno.
He was a neo-Nazi in Oz.
Juno.
Juno. He was the dad.
Like, Juno was like the part where he was typecast. I mean, he was basically... He was basically playing Sensei Kreese from Karate Kid, you know, the whole time. I mean, this is like...
No, it wasn't. That's the most ridiculous thing you said, because he was like a Cheshire Cat part of the time and cajoled... Miles Teller and beckoned him in and then changed his tone on a dime, and the rise and fall of his temperament in that film. He might have done it in some smaller things, but he really said, hey, I deserve some major recognition. He's probably going to get an Oscar for it.
Wow. Prognosticator Hal over here doing Oscar.
Michael Keaton will get an Oscar
too. This one's tough for me. I have two. I'm really just rattled. I'm like, who do I actually, because I have Matt Third, I can make the call, but I'm going to Miles Teller was very close to me. I'm not going to pick him, but I would argue Miles Teller did a better job than J.K. Simmons.
Oh, crazy.
I'm going to go with a risk that I think even the audience will be like, what? And I'm going to pick someone a little bit more out there. Shailene Woodley in The Fault in Our Stars. No actresses are getting credit this year, and even she's not getting credit this year. Honestly, the best actress field is pretty lame this year, according to all the pundits and stuff. Shailene Woodley, man, she took that such a like seemingly young adult, cheesy teenage movie and showed some amazing range. And I'm not a fan of those movies. I think that movie was a step above most. I think it was smart. But, man, we are looking – that movie to me opened up my eyes of like way beyond Jennifer Lawrence, all these other people. Like she just crushed me. Like the scene, spoiler alert, the scene in the bed where she finds out that, you know, what's his name is not with us anymore and she breaks down. I mean, so raw and so real. And I feel like at such a young age, so upcoming, and in such a sort of teeny bopper movie, she took it to a whole new level. And so to respect the ladies, I got to put one out there. And I think she gave the best performance of the year.
Wow. I mean, you know, I think we kind of said all you can say. I mean, these were three great performances. Plus, you know, we got some fun stuff, too.
So well, I can say I don't think Michael Keaton was the movie Birdman. I think he gave a very fine performance.
Ed
but he walked
Norton.
Around like Michael Keaton. He did a little. I'm just going to walk around. I don't see much range in what he's doing. He got a little upset. Edward Norton was
Edward
so
Norton
much
was
more against
better.
Him. And there were so many. Zach Galifianakis. I mean, everybody in that movie supported him to get to where
Emma
he was.
Emma Stone
and I think
was
it was
excellent.
More a nostalgia of like, oh, I miss Michael Keaton. He's good. That's really good. He was not the best of the year. And J.K. Simmons, fantastic role. Miles Teller crushed him in that movie. Miles Teller didn't even know how to play drums.
Him in that movie.
He didn't even know how to play drums.
I'm talking
about the nuanced subtlety. That was just to me, Miles Teller killed him in that performance. And I'm not defending, but I'm just saying you can't call him the best when his co-star stole.
Well,
and
can,
to me,
do we take away a point from Andy because he says Shailene Woodley, you know, is a great year for women and she was a great actress. But last year when we were putting together our end of the year episode, he said Shailene Woodley was the most secret hot girl.
She's hot. She's definitely hot.
I don't know. I'm not going to take points away from her. She's cute.
Here's the thing. I think
at a point, right? Cute and talented? Come on, that's a full package. I mean, right, guys? Those are hard to find.
J.K. Simmons, a real looker.
I think Keaton's got that grizzled look that I would just want to follow.
Yeah, but anyway, my defense to Shailene Woodley going out there on the limb with it, she took that young adult teeny bopper franchise and took it to a new level, and I think... I just, even though we made that trailer, you got to respect that performance.
Nick, 15 seconds to defend Keaton, and then I got to make a call.
Look, it's Michael Keaton.
He should be in charge of his Oscar campaign.
And honestly, he's been giving great performances for years, and this is another fantastic performance. I do think he was the best part of Birdman. I think he's a troubled soul, and it just came out, and it just watch this man just kind of like coming apart. It was great. We need more Michael Keaton in this world.
I'll agree with that.
J.K. Simmons has never had a role to put him on the map like this, film-wise.
Have you not seen
Motion picture.
Have you
just not paying attention.
Yeah.
Motion picture. A role of this caliber?
Jason, there are plenty of... He's done plenty of roles that he should know about, right?
A role of this caliber to carry a
film. I wish you were a bigger J.K. Simmons fan. Because I think I'm a bigger J.K. Simmons fan.
I saw him at a gas station once. He was very nice.
His IMDb is insane.
I know he's been in a million things, but such a plum role in a motion picture.
Hal, I see where you're coming from. I think they're giving you a bit of a hard time. I see your point, which is that it was a breakout role for him, and just in that it was a great, 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 great performance in a great, great movie where a lot of times he's been the supporting player. Nick?
I will say one more thing.
No. You've done that two rounds in a row.
Too long.
You can't do it. You can't do it this time, Nick.
I will say one more thing.
I will agree with,
yes, own
I will agree with you that Michael Keaton is Michael Keaton, but I also think that he gave a really great Michael Keaton performance. And Andy, you made a bold choice, and I agree that Fault in Our Stars kind of transcended that genre, and Shailene Woodley was a big reason why. I like your argument the best, and I'm giving you the point.
Yes! Applause!
Michael Keaton would have been better in all of the roles. All right.
I would have watched Michael Keaton in both of those.
Round four. Okay, so we've named the actors that we really enjoyed watching this year. Luke Withycombe asked us, what actor or actress are we kind of tired of that we don't want to see anymore? This is a tough one. Hal, we're going to start with you.
You know, I went round and round, and there are a lot of actors that, you know, I feel have, like, they're obvious choices, like, you know, Schwarzenegger or Stallone or whatever. But I got to go with Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh,
strong.
Boy.
Yeah.
Your car is going to be papered with flyers from teenage girls tomorrow morning.
I know. It's
morning,
crazy.
Hal.
Your Tumblr is going to get wrecked.
Listen, interesting. I want to hear this.
Yeah, he's great as Sherlock, but now everyone is anointing him as the second coming, and I'm sick of hearing that. I'll tell you. let me go a step further.
I've never heard someone speak so negatively and passionately about Benedict Cumberbatch before. I love it.
I thought he did a crap job as Khan. I thought Khan did not have the soul and the fire necessary to drive that film. I was really like, where's Ricardo Montalban? And the only person that said that before is Mrs. Montalban, you know?
What man has the heat of Ricardo Montalban?
Did you write that ahead of time?
No, I did not.
That was a good
that
one.
Just came to my head. But I thought he was feckless. I think he'll be...
He's trying to use other words since you made fun of him last week.
I thought... You know what? I bet he'll be a fine Doctor Strange, but now he's the voice of Smaug. He's everywhere. He is the darling of nerds, and I think we're giving it to him way too fast. And if you want to, like, bow down at someone's altar, there should be way more Tom Hiddleston love than Benedict Cumberbatch. Hiddleston is way better, but Cumberbatch is getting the love that Hiddleston should have.
They both did. Like, that's the only thing I disagree with.
Can I just ask, have you actually ever seen Sherlock?
Oh, yeah, I actually...
Okay,
yeah.
Fair enough, because you don't watch Doctor Who or any of those.
No,
okay,
Sherlock, okay. I like.
I'm going to go... It feels like an obvious choice to me, but I'm going Johnny Depp. Now, I respect this guy tremendously, an immense talent, and I'm talking go back, Ed Wood, Gilbert Grape, Edward Scissorhands, I mean, come on, endless, but my God, I am just so bored of him, and I'm so over... Into the Woods and Mordecai and another pirate. I mean, come on, dude. Make a decent choice in your life. And to me, it's different because I thought actually Benedict Cumberbatch was great in The Imitation Game. And I liked him as Smaug on The Colbert Report. Finally showed me some humor on him. So I can't hate him as much. Whereas Johnny Depp is just so disappointing and so sad. And I'm just so like, he has so much talent. I thought he did. And then I just, every time I watch, I'm just so tired, which is the debate of seeing him put a silly outfit on and do a stupid voice and think it's some revolutionary thing when it's like, dude, go back to your roots, look hot and do a good movie.
Yeah, but I mean,
Transcendence. Oh my God.
We've been saying this since 2006.
True.
I mean, everyone's been saying...
Who are you picking?
No, well, let me get to it. But first off, I was like, oh, hey, who are we most tired of seeing actor? Well, Johnny Depp, but that's the too obvious answer. Like, I don't want to do that one because everyone's sick of Johnny Depp. Everyone is... I don't know what he has on him. Everyone...
But in a way that might work in Andy's favor.
Yeah, who are you sick, Nick?
Okay, Samuel L. Jackson.
What? Okay.
Samuel L. Jackson. What was the last good performance he's done?
Winter Soldier?
Django? Winter Soldier?
He was the worst part of Winter Soldier. I couldn't wait till he died.
That was the first time they gave Nick Fury something to do.
Man. I know, and when they killed him off, I was so pissed when he came back.
Nick, let me just say, his scene where he gets surrounded by all the Black Ops guys in Winter Soldier was badass.
What are you... All right, I'll let you speak.
No,
let's hear it, Nick.
Great scene. I'm just... You know, like, he's just playing the same guy over and over again. Did you see RoboCop? That was awful. That was a awful, awful, boring performance. And that sequence was cool, but they could have put anyone in that sequence. They could put Andy in that sequence, and it would have been as good. Like, that's the directors. That's the Russo brothers. And The Kingsman coming up, that new movie that looks awesome, and we haven't talked about that, the new Matthew Vaughn movie, he's literally dressed like Samuel L. Jackson would dress. Like, it's like, hey, we need someone to, like, play, like, a Samuel L. Jackson guy, and they just got Samuel L.
Jackson. Is he wearing a Kangol?
Yes. And a pink polo shirt. Like, no, and he's just, the guy is a great actor. He needs to take, like, 5 years off, 3 years off, wait to do another Quentin Tarantino movie. He's just oversaturated. He's in everything, and he's just the same terrible one-note actor, like, now. And it's just a caricature of himself. I've been saying this for a long time. You know,
the phrase is a caricature of himself.
Yeah, I don't
Okay.
I'm going to fight that just because I think he did a good year with Winter Soldier, and I think it was the first time that he took the cameo to another level.
And
so
the year before, he did Django.
Have you seen Imitation Game challenging you?
No, I haven't seen Imitation
Game. Fantastic. He's fantastic. He's great. And I think Smaug, he's shown some range. He's doing some of that. And I'm excited to see him do Doctor Strange.
But who actually sees Johnny Depp movies?
I don't.
I sadly have.
Like, I don't know anyone who's seen any Johnny
Depp. They're starting to do it less, which makes me think we're most tired of him.
Here's the thing.
Because he could open a movie. Now, people are learning. They're tired of Samuel Jackson never or still doesn't open a movie.
But he's in every movie.
Sam Jackson, Johnny Depp, and then if you, a couple of years are going to be Stallone and Schwarzenegger. They're all kind of in the same category. But Benedict Cumberbatch is hitting this frothy anticipation and excitement that he should be in every movie. And it's just like, oh, guys, give it a rest. Let people audition for parts anymore. You know, he's getting way too much
nerd
love.
But he's still good. He's still good in 95% of the movies. Smog was bad.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I mean, he's still really a good actor. Yeah, he's in a lot of it, and like, it's like people were like, oh, Bradley Cooper's and everything. Yeah, but he's also really good in it. At least Johnny Depp is bad in it, and so is Samuel L. Jackson. They're bad in these movies. Like, Benedict is a fun argument, but it's
he was
he's
not
still really
he was not he was not a good
can I say seven things
he was
no,
not
you didn't
a
even
good,
see the movie you did this year so
I
was
not a,
a good
con that was, and this one it's fairly easy for me. First of all, Nick, I love that you called Andy out on saying that Johnny Depp's been in too many movies by making the argument that Samuel Jackson's been in too many movies, which is people have been saying that for like 20 years. You lose some
people.
Lose,
I don't think anyone argues. I think I would like everyone argues Johnny Depp. I'm just saying, like, I don't think anyone like really
same,
talks
kind of him. Same with the last time. I admire someone who takes a bold stand. Sometimes a man has to make a stand. And Hal, you showed some bravery by picking Cumberbatch. But I agree that he is reaching the point of oversaturation where every movie part that comes up, it's Benedict Cumberbatch should play it. He's in every genre.
He's good.
Yes, but he's in everything. So I'm making the choice. Hal, you in the point.
I don't agree with that.
You suck it.
That was very strange.
Well,
Doctor Strange?
Have you seen The Imitation Game?
No.
Oh, well, there we go.
The round wasn't, have you seen The Imitation Game?
How can you be tired of him if you haven't seen his movie?
I didn't say I was. My job is to say who made the best argument, and Hal did. Yeah. Moving on, round five.
Is he wearing a Kangol hat?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, by the way, Samuel Jackson's wearing a Kangol hat.
Nick, quiet.
I want the people.
Oh, here comes Testy Dan. I love Testy Dan.
I have to listen. You guys, I'm not a substitute teacher.
You can root schools out.
Round five. Let's talk about some. Let's get off best worst. Let's talk about just some fun weird hot topics. At Le Cosby, which is an unfortunate title.
Cosby?
Right now. At Le Cosby on Twitter asked, it's with a K. What's the best movie weapon of all time? And we're on round five, which I think means we go to Andy first. Andy, what's the best movie weapon of all time?
Mine has so many features, I just wanted to remind myself of all of them. That's why I'm looking it up. But I'm going with Zorg's SF-1 from Fifth Element. Do you guys even remember that one?
No.
No.
Can I show you all the picture? Do you remember this beast? Do you remember this beast?
Oh, that one. Okay.
This beast will crush all of your weapons. I don't even know what your weapons are. This one's got a flamethrower. It's got a rocket launcher. It's got a ice freeze ray. It's got a replay shot, so it shoots once, but then it automatically finds and hits the same spot again. This weapon is off the chain, and that movie was off the chain, and I think this weapon deserves some more props, and I'm ready to argue more, but I'll let Nick go next.
Nick.
Let it be the record say that he just said off the chain. So
I did.
Okay, my weapon...
Andy's hip.
My weapon has a soul.
Oh, he's on the script again.
My weapon was built by the 1%, but fights for the 99. My weapon is a tool for the powerful, but a symbol for the downtrodden. My weapon was forged by man, but kissed by God.
Are you going to tell us what your weapon
my
is?
My weapon fights crime, but still loves his son.
Another 4 feet.
My weapon shoots balls to shreds, but can tell right from wrong. My weapon is part man, part machine.
Terminator?
All cop.
Oh, right.
My weapon is RoboCop.
Does that count?
Yes.
No, not at all. Not at all.
His gun counts. Isn't that a person?
No,
yeah, it's not. A cyborg.
His humanity was taken away, and it's a weapon.
But it's his main function as a weapon.
To fight crime. It's a tool for OCP and the city of Detroit.
He's got
and the
a
Detroit
name. His name's
Department.
Murphy.
Well, I'm sorry. Weapons don't have names.
You just said he was a tool.
According to the internet, RoboCop is listed in the internet movie firearms database, making him a weapon.
But his gun or himself?
Himself.
Thank you, because he is a tool for the police.
Even
and
if
the
it says it, I think it's lame.
You know, if you're gonna go there, you got to open it up to like Terminators.
Yeah,
you can do that.
I don't think.
Bring it.
Okay, my best weapon.
Not anyone
is
can use
the
that weapon.
Predator. No, it's not.
It's a pretty good weapon. Hal.
Yeah, it's a pretty good weapon. He's a killer. He's an intergalactic
Hal,
killer.
What's your choice?
You know what? When you think about best weapon, you want something that is deadly, and that can be used in many different ways, and that you also that also captures your imagination as a kid.
He's going so obvious. I already know.
Wow.
It's a lightsaber.
Yeah, it's the lightsaber. Here's the thing.
But they changed it in the trailer.
You got the lightsaber. You can, and you know how to use it because Jedis use lightsabers. You can block lasers because your reflexes are that good, and you are just a devastating killing machine.
Andy, to use one of your phrases, at the end of the day, isn't it just a sword?
Yeah, can I ask Dan a question as your judge? I need some guidance here. Are you judging which weapon would win in a fight, or are you judging best weapon?
I don't know how to judge this.
Because
if we're going best weapon to choose a fight, you both lose.
No,
I think we would both. Well, I'm not even counting yours as a weapon. I think that's a cheap answer.
You're not the judge.
I'll put your machine against a lightsaber in
my
the
machine
hands.
Would blow yours up.
No,
and the holder
you,
of it.
No, if you put that in the hands of a Jedi going up against
remember
you.
Remember Indiana Jones when he had the whip?
You are not going to hit a Jedi.
My tool.
Remember when that guy had the knives and Indiana Jones just shot him? That's what mine would do to yours.
One problem. That guy wasn't a Jedi.
Oh, he had also, two swords,
my
though.
Weapon has a
and
family.
The lightsaber is pretty much a sword.
My weapon has a name and a soul.
You said
it doesn't count.
Yes, it does.
You said
no one else can
it.
Use that weapon.
Jason,
you said your weapon loves his son.
Corruption
you are
can.
Going straight
corruption
up RoboCop remake.
Judge.
No, I have one more thing. Mine wins on two accounts. It wins because in the hands of a Jedi, it could easily defeat you.
No.
And it is the coolest damn thing. And you did not specify, is it the most deadly or is it the coolest?
My weapon could pick yours
up. There is nothing more badass than wham.
Except for the guy who could pick it up.
I went for the obscure, cool weapon.
Jason, what do you think?
In my opinion, I think you can't put these on a fight against each other.
Yes, yeah. You can.
I think you have to go with what is the one that's going to be remembered at the end of the day?
And what's the one you want to play with
there
as a kid?
There wasn't a fight
what's
here
the
then. Because I would have picked the lightsaber too.
Wait, here's it is. I think make the sound effect of your weapon. All three of you.
Wait, who's the judge here?
Yeah, I'm just saying.
I'm allowed to have assistance.
I'm just saying, what's the sound? What does a Zorg sound like?
If all of your selections.
Come on!
I apologize to all listeners.
All right, JT, did you lower that? Sorry, I didn't warn you.
I'll give it. The name is Murphy.
You got the line wrong, so you lose. Nick's out.
Plus, RoboCop sounded, no offense to anyone, RoboCop sounded
chance.
Like a gay man there. He sounded.
Let's go for who wins the battle in the army. If we just go iconic,
Hal, you win.
Boring.
Hal gets the point.
Johnny Depp with a lightsaber. I'm not trying in my answers.
Round six. Disgusted by that round. Rounds. Yes, Nick. A lot of people put a lot of work into this. Are you trying to get on my bad side, Nick?
I'm not going to say you.
I think I'm losing too. What the hell's going on?
It's close. It's close.
Isn't this frustrating and hard?
It's fun.
Round six.
No, I got the quote right.
Well, you just got a catchphrase wrong, Nick. But the next round is asked by JRS Pip. Boy, 2008. I love Twitter. What's the best movie catchphrase? And Nick, let's start with you. Redeem yourself.
Everyone's gonna think that my catchphrase is yippee-ki-yay. Can I say it?
No.
Okay.
Mofo?
Yeah, okay. That's why. That's not why.
With Mr. Falcon. My shirt. Ho, ho, ho. Now I have a machine gun.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
That's why that's catchphrase isn't, because it's been ruined by millennial marketers and, you know, TV and TBS. My catchphrase is from another great movie. I'm too old for this shit, because out of every catchphrase, and I know all of them, maybe I can't say them right, this is the only one that actually has meaning and feeling to it. It's a symbol of what Murtaugh is feeling, and it has weight. It's not just like a pun.
Real quick, what is it again? What's your catchphrase?
I'm too old for this shit.
Jason, is it I'm getting too old for this shit?
Yep. Dan is correct.
I'm sorry, Nick.
I said it wrong.
That was a great choice, but you're out.
I just looked
okay,
it up. You're out.
I can agree with Nick and we want a catchphrase that has not been driven into the ground and annoyed the hell out of us like a Borat or an Austin Powers catchphrase. Man, I got one that I just still love saying because it didn't get blown out of the water yet. RoboCop. I'd buy that for a dollar.
I'd buy that.
Man, how much fun is that to say? That is just the best. And plus, it's got this air of mystery. What is that show? Well, who is that guy? And what is that weird
That's
futuristic
like the
show?
Best RoboCop one-liner.
Okay. No, that is the best.
Andy,
the best ever.
What's your choice?
I mean, may the force be with you. I mean,
Andy,
is there
gets
even
the
a
point.
Fight here?
Round seven. Congratulations, round seven.
What?
I just served it up in a bladder. I had a bunch of them I was going to pick from, but
well, I'd buy that for a dollar.
One of you didn't get the catchphrase right.
It's been a long day.
Al went with the fourth best.
Good call, Dan,
RoboCop.
Because we have probably another.
Yeah, we
have a mass tour and way more fun.
Go.
It's a round seven. Colin Barr asked us, it's actually a pretty fun question on Twitter. A lot of movies have great opening scenes. They set the tone for the movie. But what movie has the best opening scene? And Andy, I think we're starting with you this time.
Oh, man.
Right? Starting with Hal. Hal.
Oh. Gotta go Dark Knight. Man, that... It's the best superhero film of all time.
Wrong.
And
so you're talking about the Joker robbing the bank?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's got the best villain of all time. And
maybe.
It sets the tone like no other. Yeah.
Sets the tone. Joker robbing the bank for the Dark Knight. Andy.
I got to go with one that crushes me every time I watch it. And I didn't mean this to be a theme for me crying in movies, but no movie does it worse than Up. I mean, the beginning of that movie is a movie in itself. And it's just amazing that Pixar had the balls to put their life in that montage. And I dare any of you not to admit that you don't get choked up when you watch that scene. Incredible.
We know that Nick doesn't.
Hasn't shed a
unless
tear.
Unless it's Boyhood.
Yeah.
Boyhood and
Boyhood.
Castaway.
So you're saying Pixar's making something manipulative to make people cry?
What are you picking, Nick?
Yeah, what's your choice?
Raiders of the Lost Ark. That sets an entire character and franchise up, and you introduce the character in one epic action sequence, and I'm done talking.
All right.
Because I don't want to talk more and then ruin
Hal,
my life.
Hal, tell me. You're doing well, Nick. That's good. Hal, tell me why Dark Knight is better than Raiders of the Lost
Ark. This is really in contention. I feel like it's between us two.
No. It is in contention. Except the problem is, my big problem with Dark Knight is that it's a total psych out. It's like, whoa, we're watching this movie in IMAX. And the whole movie's going to look like that. And then for the next 20 minutes, we get 35mm, and it just ruins the whole experience for me.
All right, Hal.
I know Raiders, that's Nick
stick up for
thinking,
the stick up for the Clown Prince of Crime, Hal.
Yeah, Raiders of the Lost Ark is obviously great action-adventure, and you can't argue with that it's one of the best adventures of all time. But in The Dark Knight, just the suspense and that tone and that character like we've never seen before, that unique portrayal of...
You don't even really see him. That's the point.
Except in Heat. I've seen it in Heat.
Yeah, I don't think that... If we're going to go for setting up a character, I would give Nick
and a franchise
props over you, because that set it up way better to me than that. It was good, but I agree the IMAX was distracting. It's not the same. I will say yours is a good one. Good choice. Kudos.
I'm trying not to talk, and it's hard.
But to me, it's part of the whole movie. It's fun. It's great. It's a great sequence. But to me, we're talking about the best opening. We're not talking best movie. We're not talking anything. And it had elicited fun. It was exciting. It was iconic. Great. But Up, man. iconic, sad, happy, you laugh, you cry. It hits every emotion that movies are supposed to hit, and it does it in like 8 minutes.
Listen,
there's just no, I dare anyone to tell me another sequence in film that can go from that A to B to Z to that quickly and so effectively.
You know what? I don't want to get bummed out. I don't want to get bummed out in the first 5 minutes of the movie.
But that movies are there and to make us laugh and bum us out.
You know, reminiscent of like, you know, you watch so many serials. Watch a Tarzan movie and you'll see, Indiana Jones.
That is reaching.
Dark, like, and you got distracted by, like, you know, going from IMAX to whatever. No, not at all. It is such a gritty tone. No other superhero film, not even Batman Begins, hit that kind of tone. It really struck a chord. And look at how so many superhero films have borrowed from it for the last 10 years.
I still don't understand why there were so many buses on that street. The timing of that bus hitting the other logical thing.
Listen, they're all three great. For me, it's between Andy and Nick. And Hal, I'm giving it to Nick because it's the most iconic. I'm giving it to Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Nick is not allowed to win the show, Dan.
Words are Andy. Hard. Words make it this hard.
All right, final round, round eight.
I don't want you to win, Nick. It's not fair.
I know.
Nick, do you want you to win?
I do. I want the crown.
Okay. I'd buy that for a dollar.
Nick has been as most well-spoken as ever been. I mean, yes, I guess this might,
I mess up
this
on the
could be
one.
The day.
Nick's been doing really well.
This quote one. Well, that's what you have when you have 4 weeks to prepare because they want to have you back on the show.
There you go. That's true. Nick, you well,
it was good. The timing was right.
Guys, since this is the last movie fights of the year, it's time to think about endings. And so, kind of based off the last question, a Ruthless Rebel on Twitter asked us, what's the worst movie ending of all time? And Andy, we'll start with you.
I'm going to go with one from this year. It's called Interstellar. And if you haven't seen it yet, you might want to tune out because I'm going to spoil the hell this movie.
We've done this.
This movie started so strong, so technically brilliant and great, and Christopher Nolan, kudos. And then he went to that bookcase. It started all in that bookcase, and I'm including that whole ending up until the very ending of he leaves his dying daughter, who he's been trying to find for ages, to go get some space booty, which she's probably dead. It was just so lazy, and the reason to me it's the worst is because Nolan knows better, and Nolan should have known better, and that ending was awful.
It was a bad ending, but
I'm a little partial to Interstellar because the Dan Cam only exists because I was so pissed off that I wasn't on the panel of the year that was
as
the
you
week
have
that
been.
We were trashing Interstellar.
I just
that
wish
we
Roger
you
should have
so
been. This
here.
Was so like 2 months ago. Like
Nick, what's your pick?
Matrix Reloaded. That movie ruined a franchise. That ending ruined a franchise. In 10 minutes with the white guy like talking, it made me never see the third Matrix. And it was that bad where it took a fantastic franchise and granted the movie wasn't perfect, but it was good enough where it just completely destroyed a franchise beyond recognition in 10 minutes.
So do you mean like the last 30 minutes or like the very, very to be continued?
I want
to
fight
that. No, if he's going 30 minutes, I'm talking about from vis-a-vis like, that
the architect, the you don't even know his name.
Yeah, because it's that bad. You do.
But that ending wasn't the end of the movie. It was the Wachowski brothers, and they ruined the movie with that entire movie. You can't just call the ending out.
No, that movie
Matrix
destroyed.
Reloaded and Matrix Revolutions is what destroyed Matrix.
Well, I don't know. I didn't
ending.
See Matrix Revolutions.
Okay, guys.
That scene with
the architect was one of the most
interesting ones out of it.
Canceled out.
All right, Hal, what's your choice?
I'm going with The Village. I mean, M. Night Shyamalan, it's terrible.
Yeah, but so is every M. Night movie.
Yeah,
no.
Exactly. They're all the same.
Here's why. Here's why. M. Night Shyamalan still had something when The Village came out. He was not a complete abomination that he's since turned into. But The Village, that's when he jumped the shark. When he just had that ham-fisted ending that pulled the rug out from under what was a pretty decent story. And it was just like, oh, we're faking it. We're like Colonial Williamsburg, modern day. And here I am again in one of my stupid cameos. Yes, he's made nothing but crap since then. But The Village was the sign of things to come. And that was the worst.
All right. And Andy.
So stupid. Of course that ending's stupid because you knew going in that movie that was going to be stupid. Every movie he's been doing has a stupid ending.
And this is the
worst movie,
of them
Interstellar,
all.
Practically ruined a fantastic
You hated that movie from the get-go.
But it wasn't. But we're talking endings. Both of these movies are garbage all the way through. So just to point out their ending to me is silly and not the point of this question.
The Village is not garbage.
Which is what was the worst ending? When you left Interstellar, you were frustrated because of that ending, whether you liked it or not. You had to defend it, and you had to figure it out. That ending changed the movie, whereas
in retrospect,
your twist and your
Reloaded stopped me from seeing an entire other movie.
No, you did still saw... You saw Revolution.
No,
you liar.
Had holes.
Yeah, you liar. You didn't see Matrix 3.
No.
Oh, come on.
Interstellar had holes and flaws. Interstellar had holes and flaws leading up to the bookcase. And here's the thing. In retrospect, you know, there are positives. The positives about Interstellar outweigh... If someone said, should I see Interstellar, what would you say? You would really say no, Andy?
I might say see it in the theater for the cinematic technical
you'd say see
stuff.
It. You'd say see
yeah,
it.
But no, I would say...
That's a bit of a straw man.
Yeah, I would say...
That's a bit of a straw man. That's I would two say, different questions.
There, to respect a movie's... two-thirds of the beginning, that's a fair thing to see in a theater. I respect him as a filmmaker, but he, as a movie, it's the worst ending because it totally fell... It is the straw that pulled and dropped the entire film.
Go so back to like, the old episode Nick, where we did this one, and you hated that movie through and through.
Nick, that's not, give me 20 more seconds on Matrix Reloaded.
Matrix Reloaded was not as good as the first one, but it was a decent action movie that... Like, okay, I want to see where this is going. I want to see where this is going. And then the architect scene and then further out just destroyed it for me. I've never seen a drop from...
But why specifically?
Because it was just nonsense. And that's, I feel like, that all they wanted to do. They just wanted to...
Didn't Revolution... You didn't see it, I guess,
no.
Apparently. Revolutions took it even worse.
Well, thank God I didn't see it, and that's what
I think the movie could have been saved if Revolutions hadn't been so terrible, because the architect, wasn't great. The architect wasn't what screwed it up. It was something different, and you're watching, you're like, what's going on?
No.
It also paved way to a great MTV Movie Awards party with Will Ferrell. That was quite funny.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. Give me 20 seconds on The Village. Why is it the worst ever?
Shyamalan is so bad, and that was the movie where he's like, oh, I can just make anything and have it feel like a stupid Twilight Zone episode and do whatever I want. But it was the signifier of no, he can. And it was the start of the beginning of the end. And no one has had such a line of crap as Shyamalan.
Okay, I have to make a call because we have to do a little something extra here. Because, Nick, I wanted to give you the point because I agree with your choice, but you didn't argue it well enough. So, and Andy, I think Interstellar was a bad ending, but I think to name it the worst ending of all time right after the movie comes out, I think there's worse out there. So, Hal, I'm going to give you the point.
What? Did you not see Signs? What?
Yeah, I mean, come on!
That was the first one where it was like, oh,
that ending of Interstellar completely wrecked you, and it will for a decade. I challenge you.
Andy, do I argue with you?
Yes.
Well, that's the point of this.
I do. I would.
Well, the thing is that
I agree with Dan.
We're gonna make some history here either way because Hal and Nick are tied 3-3.
Oh my God!
Whoa!
So here's what we're gonna do, real quick, because we're almost out of time. We're gonna do a 5-question speed round.
Whoa!
Winner
five.
Holy 5-question
crap.
Speed round. Winner take all.
Dan, am I allowed to help you judge?
No.
Shut up. You help when you're out.
I didn't want to say this for a
while.
When
he's out, I let you help.
Shut up,
Andy. What do you mean? What do you mean?
Fine, I'll shut up.
Andy, if I'm having trouble, I'll go to you. How's that? All right, you guys ready? Here we go. 5-question speed round, real quick. You just got to shout it out. Number one, best Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
Predator.
Running Man.
Nick gets the point. Number two, coolest female protagonist.
Linda Hamilton.
Ripley.
Hal said a character. Hal gets the point. This is a good one.
So far, I agree.
Third question, most depressing movie ever.
Closer.
Fault in Our Stars.
Oh, that's tough.
Neither of you get the point.
But you might need to give the point if it's a tie.
That's true. Next question. Better spoof, Spaceballs or Galaxy Quest?
Spaceballs.
Why?
Mel Brooks.
Galaxy Quest, because Spaceballs just doesn't hold up as much anymore. And Galaxy Quest is a sharper movie.
Nope.
That's incorrect.
Good.
Nick, you get the point.
What?
All right, here we go. Hal, this is your last chance. If you could unsee what movie, what would it be?
Oh, to me?
Yeah. Or whoever.
1999's Godzilla.
Zach Braff. You know what? Actually, Nick, you went on a technicality. Godzilla was 1998, and it's a Christmas
Damn
miracle
it.
Because
oh my
Nick
God.
Bundy has won his
oh
first
my God.
Movie fight. It went to overtime. That was we need some music. I think that would have been better with
give
music.
Me some music.
I think
cue the AC/DC.
We should have had it.
Oh my God, it's so great. I'm scattered here. I got to find my papers. Guys, Andy, first of all, thank you for letting me judge, and
Can I just thank you all, and thank the audience for making the show a hit? We did this on a lark, and kudos to the year. Like, you guys care about us talking about dumb movies? I mean, this is amazing. So thank you all, as I'm delaying for Dan to to get his paper.
I've lost my paper. My wrap up thing.
I want to host.
This is insane, Andy. This is why you do it. You're so.
Do you want me? Do you? I know. I think I know it by heart.
You know, I think I got it here. Yes. We're out of time, guys. Thank you so much for a great 2014.
Pal,
thank you for
you.
Embracing movie fights. We will be back in 2015.
Congratulations.
We hope you like the show. What did you think? If you're watching so on YouTube, let us know in the comments below what you thought. And more importantly, tell us what you want us to fight about. Comment on YouTube. Tweet us. Email us at tips@screenjunkies.com. Also, since I know a lot of you are watching on YouTube, I want to remind you that we are also on iTunes. We've got audio versions of the show. The link is in the description below. Show us your love by rating, commenting, subscribing, all that fun stuff on YouTube. And if you're listening on iTunes, be sure to check out our YouTube channel, youtube.com/screenjunkies, for a lot more, a lot of cool stuff. I want to thank our panelists, Hal Rudnick.
Yeah, hit me up at Hal Rudnick on Twitter and watch the Screen Junkies show.
Andy Signor, please don't fire me.
Hit me up on at Andy Signor on Twitter and tell us what you want to see. And did I do a good job or did I do a terrible job? And I'll shut up.
Nick Mundy.
The underdog can win. DickFundy.com.
Well deserved.
On the Dan Cam, Jason Inman.
At Jawan, and I'm disappointed Nick didn't mention "to be continued" on The Matrix Reloaded.
That was what I needed, Nick. He would have taken it outright if you'd said that. And
I left the theater by then.
I'm at Merle Dan on Twitter. Before
that's,
we go,
that's
I,
what's your point?
Before we go, I want to thank our amazing friends at the Popcorn Talk Network. Once again, if you love movie fights, they have their YouTube channel. Lots of great shows. Meet the Movie Press, Marvel Movie News, Jedi Alliance, Anatomy of Movie. Lots of great stuff. YouTube.com/Popcorn Talk Network. Thank you for watching. Happy New Year, and we will see you in 2015.
Bye-bye.
Every podcast we put on YouTube comes with this kick-ass graphic, listing all the topics your favorite Screen Junkies podcasters are talking about. If you click the topics, you can skip around and choose your own podcast battle royale. Go ahead, try them all. If you haven't already, subscribe to Screen Junkies on YouTube to join us for future fights. Or if you prefer to listen on iTunes, click the logo to download an audio version. Lastly, please support our friends at the Popcorn Talk Network for more awesome shows.